Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, July 14th, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Seven candidates challenging U.S. Representative Mike Baumgartner in Washington's 5th Congressional District share ideas on immigration enforcement at a forum put on by the Pullman League of Women Voters last night. And they all oppose the SAVE Act. We'll hear from them later in the newscast. Also, Idaho Medical Marijuana Initiative fails to make the ballot this year. Well, details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. You're tuned to KRFP Moscow Pullman and live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho. I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Natural Medicine Alliance of Idaho has failed to get their medical cannabis initiative on the November ballot, but a lawmaker-created ballot measure amending the state constitution to take away citizens' rights to make drug laws via the initiative process will be on the ballot this November. The Natural Medicine Alliance of Idaho had hoped to make legalized cannabis available to those with chronic pain or a debilitating medical condition, such as cancer, post-traumatic stress, epilepsy, or Crohn's disease. Secretary of State Phil McGrain sent a letter to organizers yesterday saying the group had submitted a maximum of 58,000 valid signatures, but the state requires at least 70,725 signatures to get a statewide initiative on the ballot. The Idaho Capital Sun reports McGrain also told the group his office had not been able to verify the residency status of 293 people who circulated petitions to get the measure on the ballot. Idaho law requires those collecting signatures for initiatives be residents of the state who are at least 18 years old. McGrain also said one of the petitions had the name and information for a voter who died in 2021, and other petitions had the names of people who the state removed from the voter rolls. McGrain wrote, similarities in the handwriting and voter information raised a credible concern that prior voter information may have been used to create purported signatures. The office has referred this matter and other isolated complaints to the Idaho State Police for review and potential criminal investigation under applicable law. A referral is not a finding of criminal liability, and this letter does not prejudge any investigation or prosecution. The Natural Medicine Alliance of Idaho said they will cooperate with any investigation and said they oversaw the signature campaign in good faith. They wrote, as the campaign progressed, we saw signs that our original signature gathering vendor's operation was disorganized, but when concerns were raised, we were assured that legal requirements, including requirements related to reporting and residency, were being followed and signatures were on pace to surpass the threshold. It appears that our confidence was misplaced. The Secretary of State's letter describes missed deadlines, circulator documentation and payment disclosures, and petition materials prepared incorrectly or submitted late. We take every claim in that letter seriously, and no one wants answers more than we do. We believe every statement made in the letter originated with our initial vendor. None of our concerns extend to the second firm we brought in late in the drive, whose work was professional throughout. Now the legislature's House Joint Resolution 4 will be the only drug-related measure on the November ballot. If 50% of voters approve it, it will take away Idaho citizens' rights to change drug laws by initiative and states only the Idaho legislature and the governor have the authority to legalize medical cannabis, recreational cannabis, or any other drug. There were seven candidates challenging Republican incumbent U.S. Representative Michael Baumgartner on hand at the Pullman Recreation Center last night for a League of Women Voters Candidates Forum. Washington's top two primary election is set for Tuesday, August 4th, which is the deadline for dropping off ballots at collection sites. The moderator, Deb Olson, asked a question about ICE creating a climate of fear in this country and how the candidates would deal with the problem. All of the candidates saw ICE behavior as a problem, and some said they want to abolish the government agency entirely. Here's the answers from Democrat Carmela Conroy of Spokane, followed by Democrat Kevin Fagan of Spokane, and then Democrat Richard Freudenberg of Liberty Lake.
I used to be in the business of border security from overseas when I helped screen people who were applying for visas to come to the United States or applying for documents that would prove they were American citizens. I take border security very seriously. This administration and Michael Baumgartner does not. Michael Baumgartner told a room full of Republican donors that he was going to have a private meeting with then Attorney General Pam Bondi and Deputy White House Chief of Staff Stephen Miller to talk about how he and his committee role could reinforce the administration's intent to terrorize people in our communities. We have got to get back to a humane and orderly system. And one of the things we need to do is take those border security assets out of our communities, redirect them to our borders and to ports, and defund DHS altogether until they follow the law.
Our immigration policy is absolutely inhumane. And ICE is not some sanct institution in the United States federal government. It was created just after 9/11 to serve specific customs and border processes. And so I would absolutely support abolishing ICE for the explicit reason that they have become corrupt top to bottom. Within this last year, they had thousands of established law enforcement professionals who had been doing their jobs, working on sex trafficking, human trafficking, actually finding the worst of the worst for people who were committing crimes. All of those people left under this new leadership. And then they hired, you probably saw their ads, $50,000, join today. Take back our homeland. Who are the ones joining when they say take back our homeland? It's those people who were wearing masks on January 6th not that long ago. It's the same Proud Boys that are now emboldened by a badge on their shoulder. And so that's why I support abolishing ICE.
ICE is a real problem. Bottom line is I would remove all of the political appointees within the Department of Homeland Security immediately. I would go after them as much as I could. I need to, all of the individuals, every single one of them that has violated the law needs to be held accountable. And then we need to have proper vetting of all of our ICE members, all of the individuals in the Department of Homeland Security. That vetting would have to include what is actually complying with the law. The problem is we can't abolish an entire portion of a federal agency. They are significantly involved in the obtaining of evidence or investigating human trafficking. Human trafficking is a real problem in this area, specifically Spokane.
That was candidate for Congress, Democrat Richard Freudenberg of Liberty Lake. Before that, we heard from Democrat Kevin Fagan of Spokane, and we started that clip with Democrat Carmela Conroy of Spokane. Democrat Bajan Mavawala Sr. of Valley had a unique perspective on the actions of ICE and the Trump administration. Here's Mavawala, followed by independent candidate Nate Powell of Spokane.
Respectfully, I'm going to disagree with Rich. You absolutely can and need to eliminate ICE. I don't know if you all know this, and back on my table you will find a link to the PBS NewsHour that tells the story. My son was arrested on the South Hill of Spokane by the FBI for nonviolently protesting against ICE in Spokane. He was convicted of aiding and abetting, a charge that was not added until halfway through the trial. Conspiracy. My son was acquitted of all the other charges. Now, if you don't think that that is something that needs to be looked at, I beg to differ. Also, I want to make sure that other people understand this. They can go to any one of your homes. ICE has the authority to write their own warrants without a judge. And they can kick in your door because they said so. That is entirely un-American.
Thank you.
The question was about immigration policy. Our immigration policy needs to work in the best interest of America, Americans, be orderly and humane. It has failed to do any of those three things under the current administration, and that is because we have taken our internal immigration enforcement away from where it should be. I think in the jails, when undocumented immigrants have contact with our law enforcement system, that is the time when our immigration enforcement agents should have contact with them, not on the streets, at work, in schools, in hospitals. It should be exclusively when undocumented immigrants have contact with the regular law enforcement system. But we have to start with a secure border. That immigration policy does not work if we don't know every single person coming into this country, but also have the bureaucratic robustness to process and vet everybody and have a quick timeline to legal status.
That was independent Nate Powell of Spokane, preceded by Democrat Bajan Mavawala Sr. of Valley. Democrat David Womack of Walla Walla was next, followed by independent Andrew Bartleson of Spokane.
It hasn't had a good look, a good re-scrubbing of it since the 1990s. We had one, a bipartisan one, that was passed by the Senate and then rejected by the House because of phone calls that the current president made because he wanted to run on it coming up. But that's beside the point. We need that overhaul. And that overhaul has a few key things to it to me. Number one is we need to be a welcoming country for those asylum seekers and refugees. That is the best of who we are as Americans. Give me your tired, your poor. Let's let them come in an orderly fashion. Let's have a secure border for our DACA folks, people who were brought here as children. They need to have a streamlined pathway to citizenship.
Making asylum claims is an international right for a reason. There's over 3 million cases backlogged in immigration courts. So why don't we put the money to better use to process that? But further, let's just go on to when we're not wanting immigrants here. I don't hear complaints when it's 95 degrees out and a new roof is getting put on by a bunch of Hispanic immigrants. Nobody's complaining then. When you go and you get some food cooked and the kitchen's hot as it is now, not complaining then. When you need some long-term care, you go to the hospital and the neck is from Philippines. You don't seem to care then, do we? No. As long as you're benefiting us, great. We don't have a problem with you being here. But when you're not, well, then you want to get rid of people? No, I'm sorry. And let's be real about what is going on here. Fascists like to pick the vulnerable population. That is who they target first. They condition you to accept inhumane treatment. And then they expand it to other people. So yeah, you might be snatching up immigrants off the street today. It's dissidents tomorrow. They're talking about the communists, anything benefit people. The communists again, the communists. So yeah, it could be them today, tomorrow you, and who's going to stand there? We're not putting up with that.
That was independent Andrew Bartleson of Spokane, preceded by Democrat David Womack of Walla Walla. We'll have more from last night's Pullman League of Women Voters Candidates Forum for the 5th District Congressional seat in just a moment. This is the KRFP Evening Report.
KRFP is supported by listeners like you and by Moscow Ale House, with something for everyone in the family. You can find Moscow Ale House at 226 West 6th Street or call 208-882-BREW. That's 208-882-2739.
KRFP thanks its listeners and sponsors for helping make this programming possible.
Don't touch that dial. You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
You listen to radio. You've got it right.
Listen, listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio.
Listen to the radio.
radio.
You got it right.
Community radio.
Listen and you give a little listen to the radio.
Radio Free Moscow.
Fight Back Radio.
It's 90.3 on your radio dial.
Fight Back.
Thanks for tuning in and thanks for your support. So keep on listening and listening and listening.
Fight Back.
We're still here.
Radio.
Still here.
Fight Back.
Fight Back.
Fight Back.
Fight Back.
Fight Back.
Fight Back.
Seven of the 12 candidates on the ballot challenging Republican incumbent Mike Baumgartner spoke at a Pullman League of Women Voters forum last night at the Pullman Recreation Center, and they all saw the so-called SAVE Act as a scam, with most candidates describing techniques of voter suppression. The bill would require proof of U.S. citizenship when registering to vote and would subject election workers to criminal penalties if they help a voter register without that proof. The bill is a voter suppression bill because it would require an original birth certificate or a certified copy of a birth certificate or a passport as proof to register to vote. Many otherwise eligible voters don't have those documents. It would also require exact name matches, thus preventing many women who change their name at marriage from voting. Here's the first three candidates to respond to a question about the SAVE Act, starting with independent Nate Powell of Spokane, followed by Democrat David Womack of Walla Walla, followed by independent Andrew Bartleson of Spokane.
So I would vote against the SAVE Act. It is not written in a way that it achieves its goals. I do not think that voter fraud is a large problem in this country, no matter how much one person would like to make you think that it is.
I said that to the Republican Women's Club in Colville on Thursday evening, and I got a lot of eye rolls there. And I got more eye rolls when I explained why. Because voter fraud, voting by non-citizen, is virtually non-existent in America. The Heritage Foundation, the most conservative group you can imagine, did a study between 2003 and 2022, 20 years. They found 23 cases out of the hundreds of millions of votes cast in 20 years. I would much rather Congress be working on things that matter to us every single day than wasting their time on that.
It's because they don't want women to vote, because they know that you don't support most Republican policies. If you don't have your maiden name and your driver's license, or whatever form of ID they decide is acceptable, they're going to stop you from voting. My daughter back there voting in her first election. I will not let that happen. You got Doug Wilson over the way there. He don't want women to vote. He don't want anybody but his people to vote. No, this is a scam. There is no election fraud. Look, if there was, the Heritage Foundation would have been all over it. All those groups, they would publish it. Frankly, when they do find it, guess who's getting arrested? The Republicans. Right. Guess who just recently got caught with voter fraud? Ken Paxton down in Texas, voting and outside his district. So come on now, Republicans, this is a scam. You're always trying to point voter fraud. Accept your losses, move on, save democracy, show some love to the women.
That was independent Andrew Bartleson of Spokane, preceded by Democrat David Womack of Walla Walla, and we started with independent Nate Powell of Spokane. Democrat Carmela Conroy of Spokane said the SAVE Act is a solution in search of a problem. Here's the next two candidates speaking about the SAVE Act, Carmela Conroy of Spokane and Democrat Kevin Fagan of Spokane.
The problem that it will create is for women, for rural voters who have a tougher time getting to a voting site rather than just being able to drop it in the mail, and may not have been born in a hospital, which means that their documentation might not be easily accessible or cheaply accessible. It's a hit against tribal communities because tribal sovereign ID doesn't count as citizenship for the purposes of the SAVE Act. And you know who loves the SAVE Act? Michael Baumgartner. Last time I looked at his Twitter account, he's got it pinned saying that he was proud to support this common sense need for identification. It's not just any identification. It's a citizenship document every time you vote, and that is nonsense.
Frankly, this is a Hail Mary last-ditch effort by the Republican Party to try to save their midterms and save their butts ahead of what is looking to be a not-so-pretty election for them. And so it's a pretty bad faith effort on a virtually non-existent issue, that is true. And so I would absolutely not vote for the SAVE Act. Thank you.
That was Democrat Kevin Fagan of Spokane, preceded by Democrat Carmela Conroy of Spokane. Democrat Richard Freudenberg of Liberty Lake said he sees the SAVE Act as a way to remove people from the voter rolls. Here's Freudenberg, followed by Democrat Bejun Mavawala Sr. of Valley.
I actually got into a debate with this with Representative Baumgartner's office on Thursday, and it was interesting. I can tell you, I'm an attorney, I'm a JAG. I read the law, word for word, the entirety of it, and he was giving me information that wasn't 100% accurate. I'm going to put it as kindly as I can. The bottom line is this. It requires states within 30 days to do a reporting requirement. Once you're removed from the rolls, you have to fight to get back on. Military IDs don't qualify. Real IDs don't qualify. These are most common for people to have. Your driver's license doesn't qualify to get back on the system. And so you're going to need basically a photo identification with a birth certificate, with a marriage certificate, if your name is different than your birth certificate. That's more than you need for a social security card.
There's another downstream one on this one, and that's identification. The reason that you don't have voter ID laws is because it's a poll tax. You have to go and pay in order to vote. And for somebody, for example, someone who is poor, lives in a rural area, or lives in a rural area, or lives in a inner city, they have to go down and pay for an ID, taking a day off work. They lose money. Republicans haven't forgotten poll taxes. They love them.
That was Democrat Bejun Mavawala Sr. of Valley, preceded by Democrat Richard Freudenberg of Liberty Lake. The other 5th District candidates on the Tuesday, August 4th ballot are Republican incumbent Mike Baumgartner of Spokane, 2 other Democrats, Mike Magar of Spokane and Mike Gavarachi of Spokane, and 3 other independents, Matthew Hayes of Spokane, Anne Marie Danimus of Spokane, and Kyle Ersey of Spokane. Primary ballots are due in drop-off boxes by Tuesday, August 4th at 8 p.m.
Oregon's largest Pride celebration is coming up this weekend, and organizations focused on uplifting LGBTQ people are spotlighting the rising food insecurity within the community. Research from UCLA shows 18% of LGBTQ adults experience food insecurity, 4% higher than their straight peers. Brent Blackwell manages Esther's Pantry in Milwaukee and says part of the problem is that many people in the queer community don't feel safe accessing resources.
What we found very early on in my 10-year career here is that folks feel unsafe in the waiting rooms or the areas that they're accessing the food services. And so they would rather actually go hungry than access the food services in a place that makes them feel unsafe.
Blackwell says Esther's Pantry started in the 1980s serving people impacted by HIV and now welcomes all LGBTQ people as well as immigrants. He says pantry workers don't ask for legal names and honor however people want to be identified. A June update from Oregon's Department of Human Services says new federal eligibility and work requirements for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program have pushed about 70,000 residents off SNAP benefits since 2025. Blackwell says that specific aid has been the number one fail-safe for folks experiencing food insecurity.
We're seeing probably a 25% increase per day of the number of new folks that are accessing the services at our food pantries. It's really a trend that seems to be moving up, and the food supply is going going down.
Blackwell adds that an emphasis on deportations has reduced farm labor, cutting surplus donations from farms. He also notes the Trump administration halted millions in emergency food deliveries to food banks, including in Oregon, last year. But despite the added challenges, Blackwell says he's grateful for the local organizations and volunteers that keep showing up to support the pantry.
This pride, just know that there are folks out there that see you, and we want to help you, and we're here for you.
I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
Cash register politics is alive and well in the U.S., according to a new Watchdog report. After massive spending on political campaigns and lobbying, 88 corporations that took in $105 billion in pre-tax income last year paid no federal income taxes. Researcher Eileen O'Grady with Public Citizens says combined, these companies saw a 3,000% return on their investment by avoiding nearly $22 billion in taxes they would have had to pay if not for laws passed during the first and second Trump administrations. And she says those savings allowed companies to spend even more to influence lawmakers.
So what we're seeing here is a self-reinforcing loop where corporate cash buys policy and policy pays cash back.
Proponents of tax cuts have long argued that companies can use those savings to grow their business and boost federal tax revenues by raising wages and creating jobs. Last year, businesses in Wyoming paid $252 million in federal income taxes. Wyoming residents, by comparison, paid more than 25 times as much, contributing $6.7 billion to the U.S. Treasury. The companies in the report avoided paying a new minimum corporate tax rate of 21% through accounting strategies like accelerated depreciation. They also collected close to $5 billion in tax rebates. O'Grady notes nearly a third of the corporations featured in the report did the opposite of creating jobs.
We found that of the 88 corporate tax dodgers, 25 of those companies instituted mass layoffs that totaled about 21,200 workers.
The GOP signature One Big Beautiful Bill Act made tax breaks passed in 2017 permanent, in part by cutting over $1 trillion in health care and food assistance programs. O'Grady says there is a path forward for Congress to generate enough revenue to help make life more affordable for families in Wyoming and across the U.S. The report recommends resetting corporate tax rates to 35% and closing tax loopholes like offshoring profits and tax deductions for executive bonuses. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Wyoming News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, mostly clear tonight, low 53. Sunny tomorrow, high 92, and mostly clear, low 55 Wednesday night. Thursday, slight chance of thunderstorms after 5 p.m., 10% chance, otherwise sunny, high 94. Thursday night, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m., then a slight chance of showers before midnight, mostly cloudy, low 54. West winds 10, gusts up to 20. And mostly clear Friday and Saturday, highs 87, low 52 Friday night, and the current temperature is 79. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. Brenda Cox assisted with tonight's newscast. Flashpoints is up next, and that'll be followed by Rude Awakening on the air at 7:30. So stay tuned for that. KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Friends of the Clearwater, a 501c3 environmental nonprofit dedicated to protecting your public lands. FOC is defending the wildlands, wildlife, and waterways of North Central Idaho for future generations. Friendsoftheclearwater.org.
KRFP